Hello, this is Margot Kingston, and I'm about to interview the first Melbourne independent that NoFibs is backing for our Independence Day project. His name is Oliver Yates. He's a very strong proponent of climate change action, and he's standing in the very safe Melbourne seat of Kooyong, owned by Josh Frydenberg. Hi, Oliver.
How are you going, Margot?
Hi. I just checked out the stats before I spoke to you, and Kooyong's a federation seat that has always been held by the Libs or their predecessors and is super duper safe, like plus 60%. Could you tell me, please, just give us an idea about who you are and why on earth you have you're taking on this, I don't know what to call it, like a miracle journey to beat Josh Frydenberg?
Well, look, I don't think it's such a miracle, Margot, but just to give you my background, I've obviously was the previous CEO of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. I'm a banker by background. I've had, 23 years at Macquarie. I am and always were a long-term member of the Liberal Party. And effectively, this seat, yes, is safe. It's definitely safe from a Liberal Party point of view. But the question is, what is the Liberal Party at the moment? So I look at the seat and say, yeah, 60% of the people here vote Liberal. But I'm a Liberal and the Liberal Party's left me. And I think that within that 60%, there's more than a lot of people who have been left behind and left by the Liberal Party. And they're the voters that I'm talking to. I'm talking to Liberal Party voters who are not represented by the current right-wing Liberal Party.
I understand that you were a member of the Liberal Party. Could you tell us when you left and what caused you to finally pull the plug?
Look, I think like everything, it's a bit like a football team. You stay and you try and you make it the team work. You hope the coach changes. You hope that the management of the team will change. But when there's a consistent pattern, a pattern of behaviour, which leaves you with no other conclusion that the team has fundamentally changed and the management is terrible and the executive is terrible, you're left with a position where you need to actually go and challenge it. So for me, their inability or unwillingness to address climate change is absolutely critical that they fail to do that. And the way that they carried on at various fundraising events, the most recent one, which is pretty notorious, was where they decided to pass around a lump of brown coal or celebrate with Scott Morrison with a lump of brown coal. This is not in Parliament. This is a Liberal fundraising function. They gave him a present of brown coal as his deep appreciation for the work that he's done for Victoria. And frankly, that was the end of it for my side. And not only was it the end of it, I walked out, but I didn't receive any form of apology from anybody in management. They obviously consider that type of behaviour is totally suitable, and I don't, and I don't think many Liberals do.
Were you at all inspired by the boil over in Wentworth to think that maybe it is possible that, given that Liberal Party seems to have left its smaller Liberal base exposed, it could be possible?
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. This is it. So, initially, if you look across the nation, is that all the seats that were the safest Liberal seat, whether they be the one that is held by Rebecca Sharkey in South Australia, the one that Karen Phelps has got Wentworth, or otherwise the one that Sophie Mirabella lost, which is which is controlled by Cathy McGowan, these are all prime safe Liberal seats. And the Liberals in those seats are not right-wing Liberals. They are generally, on the whole, broad-church, moderate to left-leaning Liberals, or a lot of them are, and they are completely unrepresented by a party that denies climate change and continues to carry on and have policies which are highly unprogressive.
Kooyong, I noticed that basically Labor got about 19% and the Greens got about 90%, so it was a real tussle between Labor and the Greens for second. I thought, maybe you were in with a shot on that basis of actually uniting blue, red and green progressives. And then came a very high-profile Greens candidate in Julian Burnside, and my first reaction was, oh, this is going to hurt the chances of beating Josh. What was your sort of analysis of the impact of that move?
Well, I wouldn't say it's helpful, Margot, to be honest, because the idea here was not to split the vote. Obviously, we now have two candidates who could be attractive to disaffected Liberal voters. I don't think disaffected Liberal voters would necessarily easily drift and hand their votes to the Greens because those policies are very different from, from Liberal votes. But clearly, on a pure analytical analysis, which is the reason why I was standing, there was a previous Green candidate, this doesn't make it easier in any possible way.
Yeah, my sort of big concern is that Labor and Greens will do a preference swap, in which case one of the two will finish second, and your preferences, given that you're attracting a Liberal protest vote, will elect the Lib. Is there any way to avoid that? Is it possible that Julian might preference you?
The parties need to make up their own minds in relation to any preferences that they are deciding to do. That's not for me to comment on other people's preference arrangements. But the logic applies that it would be unwise if they are really wanting to replace Josh Frydenberg for my votes to be spilt. So just like what occurred in Wentworth.
Exactly.
These parties may be wanting to take a very strategic approach into how they approach their own core supporters. About, you know, is there a real prospect of them winning? And if there's not, then how do they make sure that the other alternative of replacing the existing member is achieved? And I'm hopeful that there are smart people in this electorate who know a lot about politics and numbers.
Well, in Wentworth, we had to run a really big deal strategic voting campaign to sort of, because a lot of people don't know how it works. And
correct.
The Greens in Wentworth actually preference Labor, and during the last week, Richard Di Natale and Bob Brown took to Twitter to say, "Please ignore the Greens ticket and vote two for Cairns." So I mean, anything can happen, but I really hope that there's enough education out there so that voters know that if they really do want to protest about what's going on, that they really have to preference you first, or at the very least second.
Look, I think that's the case. I think they're going to have to preference me first, unfortunately, because I may well be carrying a lot of disaffected Liberal votes, which may fly back.
But which will go back,
That's right. But let's be honest here. At the moment, we have a very good working relationship of everybody on this, whether they be Greens, Labor, myself. We all absolutely want to see climate action as one of the core and most important policy matters, which almost overrides everything else. So if everybody has that unified goal in mind, Margaret, then, you know, with a bit of will and a bit of effort and a bit of thought, we can achieve that. We can deliver what the citizens want. So I'm confident, I am very confident that with the team that's on the table, that Josh Frydenberg's primary vote will be, you know, in the 30s or in the high 30s or low 40s, which means that 60% of this electorate is voting for climate action in one form or other, whether it be with the Greens, Labor or myself. And it is the ball is in our court to ensure that we deliver on that.
Well, I'm just guessing that Josh must be a little bit worried because his flyers on climate change out to people, his billboards, his videos, "I'm a local hero." I've read some reports that he could be spending up to $1 million to beat you. How does that feel? And what have you got going for you to try and counter that incredible amount of money?
Well, Margaret, this goes round back to the core issue of ethics integrity that applies here. Effectively, what the Liberals are trying to do is, and I'm sure they love it, is they want to build up an American-style political system where he or she, whoever has the money, can actually buy your vote. Now, you know, it's all one to have a cap on a donation reform, but actually we need a cap on expenditure because if you believe that it's appropriate to burn $1 million, and they may be burning $1 million of party money, but I can assure you that letter drop that they just did, dishing out the climate solutions package, which, as you heard today in the budget, they've now actually said they won't produce $50 million of a year.
Yep.
That's what has been sent to everybody. If you think that that's appropriate to use $100,000 worth of taxpayer money, individually delivering that to every elector, saying, you know, with a letter that I personally, Mr. Frydenberg, I personally take environment seriously. I mean, seriously, that is a joke. It's a horrendous waste of taxpayers' money. It's inappropriate, and the document itself was widely and thoroughly criticised as being nothing but a deceptive document showing the government was supposedly taking climate action and reducing emissions, when we all know that every year under this Liberal government, national emissions have risen. To be very clear here, Josh has been very good at saying that, oh, look, really, he's been put in a difficult place and he's just towing the party line. The party didn't tell him to send out that document to every electee in his seat. He elected to do that. So he has voluntarily made a decision to go out there and represent to this electorate that the Liberal Party is taking action on climate change. And that's not a party. He's not having to follow a party to do that. He's elected to go and do that himself.
So what is the makeup of your campaign? How many volunteers have you got? What's your strategy? How are you trying to get your message out amid all this money and propaganda?
Well, we kicked it off, late January, Margo, and we've been building successfully since then. You know, we need 140 odd people on polling day to man all of the polling booths, and they're coming in. You need 100 people in the electorate to sign up so that you can even stand under the new rules for being an independent. So, you start off with 100 people before you even start moving. So, I'm really thrilled by the support we're getting from the electorate. The electorate are enjoying the idea that this is that there is a campaign. They're so used to thinking that their vote doesn't count.
First time ever.
So it's an exciting opportunity for people to really experience, politics in this area, because a lot of them have felt that their vote didn't count. So yes, we're countering it all up. I'm not going to spend $1 million. That'd be ridiculous. It's a waste. Yeah. It's a waste of money. So we've got to do things more cheaply, we've got to do things more effectively, and we've got to be smarter. I mean, money doesn't buy you anything at the end of the day. It's an easy cop-out as to, and then maybe they're just saying, because Josh might be away at, spruiking the budget, they'll just pour money here and hope it works. But at the end of the day, with the right team and with the right thought and some intelligence, you can match that.
Oliver, have you challenged Josh to a debate yet? And are there any candidates' debates?
Yes, there is. There's one coming up next week, actually.
Wow. Tell me when. I'm sure Kooyong Tweeps would love to go along.
Well, I think it's actually already full. It's 450 people, and I believe it's already at capacity. And it's being run by a group called Lighter Footprints. And, it's called the Candidates Forum, and it's on Thursday the 11th of April here in the electorate. So. Yes, it will be. It will be. It will be.
Because copy me in on Twitter, or get one of your staffers to, because I'll definitely promote that. That will be absolutely fascinating, since basically Josh got rolled trying to get the neck through, and it'll be very interesting to see how he portrays a party that was prepared to do that on climate change.
Well, look, that neg didn't actually address emissions at all, as we all know. It was a stunt document to actually take no action from a climate change perspective. If you start off with a scenario and you say you're only going to do 26%, and before you even start the neg, you already are at 26%, there isn't much point in doing it, is there? So effectively it was a lock-in for no action in relation to climate change, because you'd already met your emissions target before it started. So, it's Thursday the 11th of April, 7 to 9.
Yes. Fantastic.
And you'll find it on Kooyong Candidates Are Never Bright Function or something by Lighter Footprints.
Okay. Oliver, it's a real pleasure to for No Fibs to endorse you. Just before you go, give me just a more rounded portrait of where you stand. I assume from your tweets that you're socially progressive.
Yeah. That's right. Socially progressive, fiscally conservative. Deeply concerned about lack of action on climate change. Australia needs to actually take leadership. If we don't take leadership, then we won't be able to influence other countries, and we have to influence other countries because we'll all be affected by the actions of other countries when it comes around to this very important issue, and we're running seriously out of time. So, governments have a core responsibility to keep the population and individuals safe. Failing to act on climate change is immoral, unacceptable, and it's not appropriate for a government to do that to its citizens anyway.
Just one last question. On preferences, are you going to follow the standard independence playbook and just say vote for me and then make up your own mind, or have you got another strategy in mind?
No, I'll be doing, I think, what Karen did as well, which is you offer people, you know, a split ticket. So in other words, you
okay.
say, you know, put me one and then you'll have three lines or three or four lines in different colours. So if you traditionally vote Liberal, you'll
sure.
put Josh two. If you traditionally vote Green, you'll put, you know, so I'll be, you know, put Julian. And if you and otherwise in Labor, you put Jana, who's a Labor candidate. So, yeah, it'll be very much as an intelligent electorate. I think they'll be able to count to six, hopefully, yep. and fill the numbers in.
Thank you very much for taking the time, Oliver. I really appreciate it.
No problems. Thank you. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.